All right, 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in verse 54, says, death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. Are you ready for this? But thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Can I get some amens on that? Amen. The risen King conquered sin and death. And those of us who are in Christ Jesus, we too walk in that victory. So it's Resurrection Sunday. And I want to go back to this. I'm going to say we're going to do this a few times as we go throughout even the message. So you can be interacting with this. And at any given time, if you just hear something that gets you excited, just say amen. And just acknowledge it. Just say amen. Amen. Just acknowledge it and come into agreement with it. And that's always a good time to do that when I'm reading Scripture. Because, you know, you don't always know what Pastor Eric is going to say. But if it's from the Word of God, that's an amen moment. But right now, I want to go back to this. I want to say, He is risen. All right, I want us to say this whenever we end up in this spot for the rest of this morning. I want us to say it with like loud declaration for the community even here. I know we're not outside like we were on Friday, but let's reverberate so much in this room even with this truth that even the heavens hear it. Amen. He is risen. Amen. Amen. So last week, Pastor Phil shared a testimony of an encounter that he had with a woman at a grocery store. They were going and picking up their groceries, and they were just chatting a little bit, and the conversation kind of went to this: are you ready for Easter? Are you ready for Easter? Well, she wasn't so excited about Easter this year for some reason. She started talking about how, well, it's just not the same. I'm not really into the Easter bunny and the Easter eggs anymore like I was when I was a kid. And then Pastor Phil, though, asked her, but do you know the real reason we celebrate Easter? And she said, no. No. Beloved, this world is filled with people who don't know. They just don't know. A woman in Gilbert, Arizona, in the United States of America, where we have the freedom to preach the gospel, doesn't know. There's a good chance you have neighbors that don't know. There's a good chance you have coworkers that don't know. There's a good chance that you go to school with some other boys and girls. Okay, you hear the just the two, with boys and girls, that don't know. They just don't know. For the past 2 weeks, we focused on the most important message ever given to mankind, which is what? It's the gospel of Jesus. This is the one message that everyone who's ever walked this earth needs to hear. They're desperate to hear. Their eternity is at stake. They've got to hear this message, the most important message, the gospel of Jesus. And we've been looking at this passage from the Apostle Paul that's found in 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in verse 3, so that we can have clarity on what this message is. And the Apostle Paul, who wrote through the Holy Spirit, wrote half of the New Testament, says this. He says, for what I received, I pass on to you now of first importance. Here is the most important thing that Paul has passed on to the church. And he says this, Christ died for our sins. He died for your sins. He died for my sins, according to the Scriptures. And even as I look behind me, that cross is a reminder of that. Why do we have crosses? Why do Christians have crosses? Because it's a reminder to us of this aspect of the gospel that Christ died. He hung on a cross. He paid the penalty for our sins. And then Paul continues. And also of first importance is that Christ was buried. but that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. This is the stone up here. He was buried behind the stone, dead. But on the third day, he was raised to life, resurrected from the dead, defeating death and sin. It couldn't hold him. The gospel. And then he appeared, because Jesus is alive. He appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. And it goes on talking about how he appeared to over 500 people. Before then, he ascended to be at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. This is the gospel, that Christ took upon himself our sins, that he was put to death for our sins, that he took our place in that place of punishment. What we deserve, he took upon himself, but death couldn't hold him. And he was raised, resurrected from the dead, victory. The gospel of Jesus. And this gospel of Jesus, this reason for Easter that everybody needs to know, demands a response. And as I've been saying for the last 2 weeks, and now this is the third week, is that I submit that a full, complete, sincere, biblical response, how we need to respond to the gospel of Jesus, is that Jesus then is our Savior. That Jesus is our Lord. And that Jesus is our King. So on this Resurrection Sunday, I want to be clear about a few things. We're going to back up a little bit to the past couple weeks, because some of you all need to hear this time and time again. Including me. We all do, right? Jesus is Savior. The Son of God is the one and only Savior of the world. And you need Him. You need a Savior. I need a Savior. We all need a Savior. Why? Scripture is very clear that we've all sinned and we've all fallen short of God's glory. None of us are good enough, no matter what we've done or haven't done. And it says in Romans 6:23, then, that the wages of this sin, the result of this sin, is our death, our eternal death. Eternal death and separation from God. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus is Savior. You can't save yourself. You can't do enough good to make up for the bad. It's impossible. Everyone in this room, everyone who's ever walked on this earth, needs Jesus to save them. So this morning, I want you to really ask yourself, do you know Jesus as your Savior? Do you? The second thing that we've been talking about is Jesus is Lord. What does it mean that Jesus is Lord? It means that He's the master of our lives, that He's the owner, that He's in charge. It means that Jesus now calls the shots, not you anymore. And I'm going to tell you what, that's a good thing. We often look at these things like, oh, no, I don't want to give up anything. That's a bad thing. And you see God's demanding of us. No. It's an incredible thing that Jesus takes the wheel, as that song goes, right? That He takes control of your life. Because you know that where you've been driving it has been a little messy and you're going the wrong direction. You're hitting potholes all the time. By the way, be careful. We got some of our neighbors here in the adjoining parking lot. There's a few potholes. I'm just saying, be careful. If you got a small car, you could lose the whole thing. So just be careful. Maybe you want to go out the other direction over here. They're taking care of it. That's what we're told, all right? Just saying. Those are not our potholes. Just in case you're wondering, wow, this church is cheap, man. It won't even fill in their own potholes, you know? And you can't fill in your own potholes. I'm going to make a connection right now. I'm going to preach this. You got potholes, and they're potholes in life, and you're hitting them, and it's getting your whole life out of alignment. You know what I'm saying? And so you need somebody else leading you. the right direction. Jesus needs to be your Lord. Therefore, God exalted Jesus to the highest place and gave him the name that's above every name, so that at his name every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue will acknowledge, will confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of the Father. Jesus is Lord. Is he Lord of your life? Is he calling the shots? You need him to. You need him to. And when you lay your head on your pillow at night and you're real with yourself, you know you need somebody else to be calling the shots. And that's Jesus. On this Resurrection Sunday, we're going to take it to the next level. Now we're going to examine what it means for Jesus to be king. Jesus is king. That's the title of today's message, Jesus is King. That's why we have this crown up here on the stage. They made it a little bit large. I was going to wear it, but it's just too big for my head. So anyway, don't make any jokes. I know I set that one up for you. Don't go there with that. But anyway. Jesus is King. Jesus is our Savior. Man, I hope and I pray that Jesus is your Lord. He's got to be. It's not optional. It's not optional. Obeying Him, walking with Him, doing life His way, Jesus is Lord. But Jesus also is King. I want to go back 2,000 years right now to a conversation that was had between an earthly governor and the governor of the universe. All right? 2,000 years ago, this conversation. There was this earthly governor, not Doug Ducey, but it was a guy named Pilate, okay? And Pilate, this Roman governor, said to him, "So, you are a king?" And Jesus answered and said, "You say correctly that I am a king. And for this purpose I've been born. And for this I've come into the world to testify to the truth. And everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." Everyone that's part of his kingdom listens to the king, listens to his voice. Point number one, why is it important that Jesus is king? Come on, if he's my Savior, he's my Lord, what's up with the king thing? And I'm good with him being my Savior because I really realize I've messed things up and I need saving. And I'm okay with him being my Lord now because, look, he earned that respect. He went to that cross. But why would I want him and why would I let him be my king? I mean, after all, I'm an American. And Americans, we don't like kings. We had a king one time, and we got rid of him, right? The King of England, right? We had the Revolutionary War. We got rid of the king. We don't like kings. We don't want kings. I mean, when we think about kings, we think of them two ways. If we look in the past, and look at those old movies and all that kind of stuff, right, about history movies, kings were tyrants. Kings were, they just overtaxed their subjects. Treat them cruelly, just use them for their own benefit. So we don't want kings. We don't want a king. Or nowadays, you think about kings or royalty, like in England, for instance, the queen, right? They're just a figurehead. They don't really do anything. They don't really have any power. They just kind of wave and kiss babies or smell their hair, whatever. No, maybe they shouldn't do that. But anyway, So kings, right? We think kings. They're either tyrants or they're just figureheads and they're not worth anything. But when we speak of Jesus Christ as our king, we aren't talking about a tyrant and we're not talking about a figurehead. When we speak of Jesus Christ being our king, we are speaking of a perfect, righteous, and loving king. One who is absolutely sovereign in his authority and eternal in his reign. Let me say that again. Our King Jesus is absolutely sovereign in his authority and eternal in his reign. That's our King. That's Jesus. Scripture declares this in Ephesians 1:20. God the Father raised Christ, his Son, from the dead. He is risen. Oh, come on. Get on your feet. Come on. I'm looking around. Nobody's sleeping yet. So y'all should be on your toes on this, okay? So again, the Father raised his Son Christ from the dead. He is risen? Amen. And where is Christ now, the risen King? And he seated him at the right hand, his right hand, in the heavenly realms. That's the place of authority. That's that kingly place. Far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that's invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the age to come. And God placed all things, not just a few things, not just most things, but he placed all things under his feet and appointed him, Jesus, to be the head over everything for the church, which is the body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Jesus is king. And our King Jesus is absolutely sovereign in his authority. Meaning, Jesus rules over all things. We just read that. He is sovereign in his authority, rules over all things. There's nothing that is not under his control. Absolutely nothing. It says this in Psalm 103, verse 19, that the Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Over all. He is king. Absolute sovereign authority. And I hope that brings us some peace. That Jesus, not you, rules over all things. I'm looking around the room and I'm like, thank you, Lord, that you are ruling over all things. But Jesus is also eternal in his reign. Eternal means forever and ever, right? Never ending. He's eternal in his reign. Look, we see leaders like presidents come and go all the time. You know, usually 4 years, sometimes 8 years. They come and go all the time. And maybe some of us are like, well, there's a president and administration that we're ready for them to go anytime soon. You know, they've done their thing and now it's time, right? But presidents, leaders, they come and go. But King Jesus, his reign is eternal. Never ending. It's eternal. It says this in Luke 1:33, and Jesus will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. Never. And it says in Revelation 11:15 that the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Messiah, and he will reign forever and ever. His authority is absolute, it's sovereign. His reign, it's eternal. Jesus, you see, is king. That's why they call him the King of Kings. The capital K King of the lowercase kings. That capital K should be humongous, really. It should be like the biggest font you can put it in. And then it should be like that little subscript, little thing on the little K for the other kings to even try to give it some perspective. He's the King of Kings. Point number two, when Jesus is king, everything changes. Amen?
Amen.
All right, amen. When Jesus, everything changed. Look, in 1996, Velvet and I, we had our first child, a baby boy named Jacob Scott Jones. He's going to be 26 this month. That's not him. No, that's not him. Take that away. It's not time for that. No. That's not. They're going to think that's him. We would have put him up for adoption if he did that. But anyway, that's a joke. I'm really a softy, a really sweet guy. Now, maybe not. But anyway, 96. I had our first kid, Jake, and wow. Everything changed, man. Things change when you have a baby, right? We didn't sleep much. Now you can bring up these pictures to see what happens when you have a baby, right? Things change. This kind of stuff happens. You don't sleep much. Hey, look, I changed a diaper for the first time in my life when we had Jake. I'd never changed a diaper before, and I've only changed about 5 since then, just to be real with you, but because my wife is, anyway. Things change. Our money began to vanish. As you're fixing things and repainting walls and all the other kind of stuff, you know, you have kids, things change. You got to baby-proof your house. You got to put up all the knickknacks and make sure nobody breaks anything and all that. But I'm going to tell you what. The change is good. Having that change of having Jake come into this world was a good thing. It was a blessing. Everything changing was good. And when we submit to the sovereign and eternal reign of our King Jesus, then every area of our lives is going to be transformed. Every area of our lives is going to be reordered. It's all going to change, and it's going to be good. Your family's going to change. The way you think is going to change. The way you interact with others is going to change. You're going to become a lot easier to live with. You can nudge the person next to you and say, "He's still working on you." But anyway, everything changes when he's king. Our past changes even. It's no longer held against us. Our present changes. Like today changes. Our future changes. It all changes. Everything changes. And it's good news because, come on now, we need things to change. We need change in our lives. And our king, when he's king, he brings change. Everything changes. It says in Hebrews 1:3, the sun is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his being. And he's sustaining all things, how? By his powerful word. He's sustaining all things by his power. By his power. King Jesus upholds all things by his power. And so if Jesus is your king, then he's upholding you. He's upholding your past, your present, and your future. He's upholding your life. You're protected, eternally protected under his banner, under his authority, because you're submitted to King Jesus. You're in the kingdom. You're in the castle. You know what I'm saying? You're his. You're his. He upholds your future. You know what? It's no longer up to you. It's no longer up to luck or roll the dice or chance or simply your best efforts. The king is in charge now. If you've come to Christ, come to this place with him, you are in charge now. You are king. You are the sovereign, not me. You're the one who reigns today and forever, not me. New management, new authority, Jesus is king. You know, I was reminded this week, as the Lord just helped me put this message together. You know that Allstate commercial? Now, I'm not talking about like Mayhem, that one, you know, where the guy always gets run over or hit or does stupid things. He's all scarred up and all that kind of stuff. It looks like me after every project I do around the house, by the way. That's what I look like. If I'm not bleeding, I haven't really finished the project yet, so... You know, I come in, are you done? No, I'm not bleeding, I'm not finished yet. But anyway, so that Allstate commercial, I'm talking about the one where the little girl is assuring her dad, who's sitting kind of, he's kneeling in front of his car that's all wrecked and bent up and everything. And that reminds me of a story. It's dangerous to be a preacher, by the way, because you end up, God helps you live out things like that you're about to preach. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, you're going to preach it, then let's see how you're going to live it. And this is just a random one that happened. So I had one of these moments, like this dad who's in front of his wrecked car. Okay, I've backed out of my garage 1,000, 2,000, I don't know how many times with my F-150 I backed out, because I got to kind of go in at a little bit of an angle so the whole thing fits in and everything, the garage door goes down. And so then when you back out, you got to back out just the right way. So it was Thursday. I just finished with my week. Thursday night's like my Friday night, and And Velvet and I were going to go. We were going to watch Ben play in a golf tournament. He did a great job. It was awesome. I don't know how he plays all that pressure, everybody watching him and all that kind of stuff. But I was pulling out of the garage, and I got distracted probably by the beauty of my wife or something like that, you know. So pulling out of the garage, and next thing you know, I just hear, I look to my left, and my mirror on the driver's side was in pieces, and the mirror part was hanging and dangling down. And I didn't cuss. I didn't. And I handled myself all right, didn't I? Thumbs up from the wife. And she's honest, man. I'll tell you what, she's honest. You don't get away with anything with her. So anything. Anyway, I kind of lived out this here Allstate commercial a little bit, okay? So again, you got this little girl who's walking up to her dad who's in front of the car that's all beat up and broken up and everything. And she goes, hey, she goes, everything's going to be okay, Dad, because we have
Allstate.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that comes out of her mouth. Like, everything's going to be okay, Dad, because we have
Allstate.
Right? You know what I'm talking about now, that commercial I'm talking about? Right. Are you in good hands?
With Allstate.
You know, that kind of thing. I love that guy's voice, by the way. So deep and, like, manly. And I want to have a voice like that, like, you know, like a James Earl Jones kind of voice. But
Allstate.
But the Easter message, this Resurrection Sunday, what'd you say? All I need is what? All you need is Jesus? I don't need that voice. Good point. I don't need that.
I don't need that voice. I just need Jesus.
You just need
Jesus.
That's good. Amen. But Easter, it's a reminder that when Jesus is our King, even though our life is a wreck, and broken and in pieces, that the one who is absolutely and sovereign in his reign, that we're in good hands. We're in
Jesus' hands.
Right? It's okay. We're in his hands. He's upholding the world. He's upholding us. He will not let us fall. We're speaking eternally here now. Doesn't mean that bad stuff won't happen. We still live in a broken world. There's sin in the world. There's bad stuff that still happens, even to God's people. But in the eternal sense, we are secure. We are in his hands. In his hands.
Jesus.
I'm going to do that a few more times just because I'm having fun with it. So I have this question. I've asked you the question, is Jesus your Savior? I mean, you got to know that. You got to know that you know that you know that he is your Savior. Is Jesus your Lord? Is he in charge? Are you following him? Is he calling the shots of your life? He has to be. If he's your Savior, then that's not just a maybe I'll do step number two. No, that's the natural progression. It will happen. Has that happened in your life? Is Jesus your Lord? And then the question is Jesus your King? To your King. I want to go to the final point, point three. When Jesus is King, we become ambassadors of the King. How do you know that Jesus is King? How do you know that he holds that place in your life? We become ambassadors of the King. When we declare that Jesus is King, when we submit to his eternal authority, we become citizens of heaven. Isn't that great? I mean, it's like we have new citizenship papers. Well, I'm a citizen of the United States. Yeah, you still are right now. But there's a deeper, more significant citizenship, an eternal citizenship that you have now in Christ Jesus. And that's, you're a citizen of heaven. And Jesus is your King. So again, Jesus saves, we submit to his lordship and obey, but then because he's King, we're now his ambassadors. And being citizens of his kingdom and being ambassadors in his kingdom starts right now. It happens right now in our lives. Not in the sweet by and by. Our allegiance changes right now to the King of Kings. There are things we give to Caesar that the Lord has told us to give to Caesar. But our King now, make no mistake, is Jesus. It's Jesus. That's who has our allegiance. And because he has our allegiance, he calls us now to be his ambassadors. You know, an ambassador has an allegiance to the king or the government that they represent. And so they'll go out into the world, in different parts of the world, and they will represent their government as an ambassador. That's what we're called to do now. To be ambassadors, to represent our government, the government of God, the government of Christ, his kingdom, and his kingship in our world, wherever he's placed us. We're his ambassadors. And so we don't just sit around if we're Christian. We don't just wait it out if we're a Christian. We don't just stay in the four walls of the church and hunker down if we're a Christian. Am I losing the mic?
Played with it too much.
Where did I lose it? All right, I'm going to go ahead and start the whole sermon over. So you can just change your lunch plans. Amen. I think point three must be an important point for us, because that's where the mic apparently started to, you know, do that whole thing, kind of the Allstate. The mic was not in good hands with Allstate. Let's just start back at point number three. When Jesus is our king, we become ambassadors of the king. All right, ambassadors. We become citizens of his kingdom. We're members of God's kingdom under his authority. We're still on this earth. We're still Americans, most of us in this room. We got an Australian here in the church, but we still love him, and that's okay. Because he's still part of God's kingdom, amen? And that's the main kingdom. That is the kingdom that we now are citizens of. Our allegiance now is to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. His name is Jesus. We give to Caesar what is Caesar's, but we follow our King, Jesus, period. His leadership is perfect. And when he leads us and he is our king, he has assignments for us. And one of the primary assignments is that we are his ambassadors. I mean, we represent his kingdom. We represent him. We represent his rule. We represent his reign, his interests. Everywhere we go, wherever he has placed us, we are his ambassadors. We don't just fit in with the world or fit in with wherever we're at anymore. No, we don't represent our own interests anymore. We represent him. We are his ambassadors. He's our king. And so as Christians, as those who have been saved, those who are now submitting to the lordship of Christ Jesus, we don't just now sit around and wait for our king to return, because he's already our king. We're already in his kingdom. Instead, what we do is we recognize that we've been commissioned by our king, and he has actually deployed us, his ambassadors, into this world for his purposes and for his mission. So you see that we're saved. Christ saves us. We submit to his lordship. We obey. We do the things he's taught us to do. We live his way. We follow his will, his plan, and his purpose. And then as we do that, we now are released and deployed by our king to be his hands and feet, to be his representative in this world. You know, when Jesus showed up in this world, things changed. Things changed. Everything changed. When we show up as his ambassadors, wherever we are, things should change. When you show up at your neighbor's house, things should change in their house as you're representing Christ and bringing him. When you show up on the job site, things should change.
When you show up at school, in the classroom, things should change. We have one of our town council members here, a brother in the Lord, Scott. And when Scott shows up at council meetings, things change because an ambassador of Christ is there, not representing his own interests, but his allegiance is higher than that. In 2 Corinthians 5:20 and Ephesians 6:20, the Apostle Paul reveals a new role of being ambassadors of Christ. It's not just some made-up thing. Paul himself calls himself a follower of Jesus, an ambassador of Christ. Sometimes Christians, we just make up words and we make up sayings and we do all that kind of stuff. Be careful. Some of the things that we say that we think are in the Bible aren't necessarily in the Bible. But I want to point out, us becoming ambassadors of Christ is biblical. Paul himself identifies as that. And as an ambassador of our King Jesus, we, like the Apostle Paul, are to be deployed. How? As messengers of his gospel and as those who are doing his mission, bringing his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, a complete, sincere, biblical response to the gospel, the most important message of all time, is that we deploy. We join the king on his mission. So now we're getting a picture of, well, is Jesus my king? Have I been deployed? Have I allowed myself? Have I answered the call of my king to deploy, to be his ambassador, to be his messenger? And our king has a very clear mission. Y'all know it. It's in Matthew, right? Matthew 28, beginning of verse 18. Then Jesus came to them, came to us, came to his disciples, those who call upon him as Savior and Lord. And he came to them and he said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. We just read about that, right? He was exalted. He was lifted up. Why? Because he went to the cross. He's the King of kings. He's the Lord of lords. Every knee will bow, every tongue confess that he is Lord. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, Jesus says. Therefore, go. So the king is saying to his ambassadors, therefore, go. He didn't say, and if you feel like it, and you get enough courage, and you stop thinking about yourself, and if the Netflix series is over, and blah, 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 blah. When I retire, you know, when you retire. No, no. He says, therefore, go and make disciples. You're in my kingdom now. You're my ambassador now. I'm your king, and I'm deploying you. Go and make disciples. Where? Where I put you, where I called you. Right there, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And doing what? How do you make a disciple? Teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Everything Jesus taught, everything he stands for, which is the entire Word of God. This is the Word of God. These are the words of God. Jesus is God. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. So here we have a direct command from our king to carry his message. The one with all authority in heaven and on earth has told us to make disciples. How? By sharing the gospel and teaching others to do all that the king has commanded. Bringing others into the kingdom of God, in other words. Helping others enter into this new heavenly, eternal, sovereign kingdom where Jesus is king. Our king has called us to be on this mission. Our king is calling us to deploy. But when and where? Again, wherever you are, wherever he has you, when, right now, today, tomorrow, the next day, there's no place that's off limits to the kingdom of God. No place. Our homes, in our workplace, at school, in the marketplace, in government, with our neighbors, at the grocery store, right, Pastor Phil? Wherever it is, we are his ambassadors. Go into all the world, Jesus says. It's recorded in Mark 16, 15. Go into all the world and do what? Preach the gospel to all creation. Share the good news of the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15, beginning of verse 3. You need to remind yourself of the gospel. Go there. Share this good news, this gospel, to all creation. We can get involved, and we should get involved in a lot of good things. We're saved unto good works. We need to help those that are less fortunate, those that are hurting around us. We need to engage in those types of things. Giving that cup of cold water, that help to those in need. But the number one priority, the number one call, the number one mission that our King has given us is to share the good news, to share the gospel of Jesus with all creation. With all creation. And remember, this world is filled with people who don't know. I want to read Ephesians 1:20, and then we're going to close. God the Father raised Christ, his Son, from the dead. He has risen.
Risen.
Amen. And he seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion in every name that's invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed his Son Jesus to be the head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. So I'm going to end with some questions. And I'm going to invite you to stand up for these questions. And I want to ask you, even right now, don't let your mind go elsewhere. Don't let your mind go anywhere else right now. I want you to focus on these questions. And I want you, before the Lord, to honestly, right now, answer these questions to yourself. You don't have to do it out loud, but between you and the Lord. Be honest. Answer these questions. Will you humble yourself and recognize your need for Jesus to save you? Will you humble yourself to his lordship and actually obey him? Will you humble yourself and bow your knee to the King of Kings and recognize his absolute Monday through Friday, Saturday and Sunday, every area of your life, his absolute authority over your life? And will you give your life to being his ambassador now? Will you accept the challenge of his priority? Not only being willing to serve others, but the number one priority of making known the good news of Jesus to all creation. Will you go all in with the one who went all in for you? Will you go all in for the one who went to the cross and took upon himself your sins and gave you new life? Will you go all in and do what he's called you to do now and be fishers of men? And will you wake up in the morning and allow the gospel message of Jesus to consume you, to consume your thoughts, to consume your desires, and to lead you every day? As we close right now, I mentioned earlier that we need to respond. We need to interact with God right now, wherever we are. We're going to close, and as we close, I want to invite you to begin coming forward. And I want to invite you to come forward if you're ready to take a step. And here are the steps. It's that first step to Jesus. If you're here and you've not taken that step of Jesus being your Savior, of you receiving his work of the cross, acknowledging your sin and your need to be covered by the work of Christ. I want to encourage you, as I call us forward here in just a moment, that you take that step and come forward. And there's some in this room who you've been struggling with the lordship of Jesus in your life. You've been struggling in this area of obedience. There's some days you want to obey, but it's just, it's been difficult. You've been struggling with lordship in your life. There's areas that you just still want to hold on to and call the shots. Areas that you're not willing to sacrifice yet. Let today be a day where you step forward and release those things. You know, when you make a fist, it starts to cramp up and hurt. It gets painful. When you release, there's peace. Let today be a day of release and letting God be Lord. And then there's others in this room today where you need to take the step of Jesus being your King and you being His ambassador. And you long, you know you long because you know Jesus. You long so much to be His mouthpiece and to share the gospel with others. But there's been things that have just been preventing you from doing that. Maybe it's your flesh. Maybe it's fear. Whatever it might be, let's go to the Lord today and break that off. And let's be released as the body of Christ. So I want to call any of those groups forward right now. For Jesus to be your Savior, Jesus to be your Lord, Jesus to be your King. If you're ready to take that next step with the Lord, come forward and let's do that right now.